Exertion number 13358, Mr. H. Wilkinson, reel 5.
Mr. H. Wilkinson, reel 5. What were you doing at Ilkley Moor, Mr. Richardson?
Under canvas there, on the edge of Ilkley Moor itself, just outside the town. And it was just more or less a few bits of general duties, a few fatigues. We were all under canvas there. And it came that we start to help the farmers. Well, prior to this just starting, I'd gone into hospital with tonsillitis from there down to Beverley. I was in there, what, a fortnight to 3 weeks, I should think. And when I came back, of course, I had to see the MO. And he read this letter and said that I had to go back in about a month's time to have my tonsils out, which, as a young one, I was supposed to have had them out as a kiddie. Anyway, he spoke to me and told me about that, and I said, well, sir, I didn't want to go back to hospital because I was on draft, and I'd rather go overseas, be on draft, and do the job that I came to do, rather than mess about, miss a draft, and be God knows how long before I went. So I said, well, in that case, your wish, it's up to you. He said, I can't say any more if you're refusing treatment. I said, well, not in as much as that so much as that I just want to go on draft with the lads that I'm getting to know. So I went back to the tent, and the lads were formed up outside, and I put some of my tackle inside, and then the corporal came in and he said, what did you get, Wilkinson? 10C. I said, no, sir. No, corporal, medicine and duties. He goes, come on outside with the rest of us. So I lined up with the lads and off we went. By gum. Potato picking straight out of hospital. Nearly broke me back and mind me spirit. I was glad when that lot was over, and it wasn't so long before we moved up to Greenock and got on board ship there, ready to go overseas.
You weren't doing any training at all?
Just a little bit, not a lot. It seemed to be mainly fatigues and camp duties, it all under canvas. And of course, as I say, I was away from it for 3 weeks. What was happening in that time, I don't know. But this starting to help the farmers seemed to be on the go. Just before I was going into hospital, there was some mention of it, but there was no parades as I knew then. But it was obviously happening when I got back.
When did you sail abroad?
Now, dates have gone. I can't remember quite when it was landed in. Have we spoken about it before at all? Round about mid-September, I should think, we sailed. I remember the ship we got on. It was a big three-funneler. The Empress of Scotland. It had formerly been the Empress of Japan. And I think she must have been impounded in port and put to our uses.
What were conditions on board ship like?
Very crowded. There'd even been provision made for extra bunks on the deck that sort of made these makeshift passageways. There were actually, you could go into one end and straight through and out the other. And as it happened, I always remember that I was on a top bunk. I think there'd be, about four bunks high. It was quite high. And I was underneath the ventilator. I thought, oh, I'm lucky there. I'll get a bit of fresh air. Because it was quite warm, really. All the bodies, I think, they were crammed in. Anyway, all these other bunks, I always remember, had an edge board on, and the palliasses or mattress, whichever you call them, were confined within that edge board. But mine at the top seemed to have no edge board, and the mattress was about 4 to 6 inches overlapping. Well, that, and with my palliasse or mattress overlapping, when we got out round Ireland, we hit the rough weather. So I was asleep 1 minute, and the next minute I was spread eagled flat on my back out on the deck. Pardon me. I was just spread eagled. I couldn't move a finger or a toe. So there was a little red light glowing, just a dim one, and the corporal there got up and got some more buds and carted me off down to the ship's bay, to the medical bay. So I was there a day or two, and then I had to attend for massage for quite a bit.
You injured your back?
Yes, I hurt my back, yes. Uh-huh. But it was more or less the end of it when I got aboard ship for a spell. Anyway, as we progressed out into the ocean, there must have been a goodly convoy. Oh, maybe 40 to 60 ships all told. That's including escorts. And then one morning we woke up and went on deck, and there wasn't a one to be seen. It had obviously been every ship for itself, cut and run, and we were on our own. So on we sailed. And
did you ever have any explanation as to why the other ships had scattered?
Well, we heard that there was a lot of submarines in the vicinity. So rather than provide a large sitting target which they could fire into, it was more or less individual. And if you were lucky, you got through, which I'm glad to say we were, otherwise I wouldn't have been here.
Was this a fast ship that you were on?
I wouldn't think she was extra fast. But, I mean, convoys, I think, were always governed by the slow ship. Like, I think it was more or less the warships, like mother hens with chicks. Anyway, we sailed on, and we came to this land. At least we could see land in the offing. And as we drew nearer, a seaplane came out and started to flash Morse at our ship, and our ship answered. And then we went wove our way in between quite a few large breakwaters. And when we got closer to shore, you could see a crescent of golden sand and a few palm trees, and then the hillside rising with palms interspersed by houses or shacks, or whatever you care to call them, of vivid colours, crimsons, greens, lemons, white, blues, reds, you name it, they were all there. And then along the top, you could see the trams running. But come night time, it was like Blackpool. We begin to wonder if we'd landed there. All the place was lit up, and the trams had all the little coloured lights right round them, as though they were Blackpool trams. It was quite a sight to see. And the next day...
Where was this place?
Oh, Bahia, they call it. Yes, Bahia.
How long had you been at sea at that point?
I should imagine round about 5 to 6 weeks, I should think, because it seemed as though we were making quite a zigzag course somehow. That's the impression I got anyway.
You said that the conditions were very packed.
Oh, yes.
How did you pass your time on board the ship?
Well, we used to play cards, dominoes, crown and anchor, I think it was. The Navy boys used to try and take your money off you. In my case, they were quite lucky. with that sum of mine. It's a game I didn't quite cut into the same as the others, draughts and dominoes and what have you. It was a seaman's game, I think, that.
Did you have duties to do on board?
Yes, there was a few duties. But for some reason or other, whether my initials being W, I wasn't called upon, but I never seemed to be bothered much. I think I did a few fatigues around the village, as I call it, you know, where our bunks were. Just kept things clean, and that was it, more or less.
Were there any drills that you did?
Yes, it seemed as though the guards used to drill more than anything. And on one occasion, I had to go from our area to the far end of the ship, and I had to pass where the guards were, and this guard sergeant made me fill a blank space. Well, you've never seen any. He was glad to get shot of me. Obviously, he didn't spare the language either, because every move the guard made at their pace, mine was at light infantry. Well, I was up, down and away before he got the orders out. If you could understand the orders, because all he seemed to shout was nothing else, and nothing like our drill.
Did you have to do boat drill?
Oh yes, yes, the life belts and the boat drill, you had to do that occasionally.
With troops packed so tightly, were there any problems on board the ship from the point of view of discipline and disturbances?
No, I never seemed to see any of that, Harry. No. Whether there was anything went really fore or after, I don't know, but we never heard of anything. I think they were just glad to sunbathe and read and whatever, because, as I say, that by that time we were into a warmer climate.
There are a number of different units on the ship.
Oh, yes. There's all sorts. Guards, artillery, light infantry units, and I think there were some Scottish lads as well. But we're all intermixed, more or less. I mean, in close proximity with being on shipboard. The only thing you had to do, really, was on a morning, round about 10 o'clock, you had to get through the nearest porthole and hang outside because the captain was coming round.
What did this entail?
Well, in other words, it meant keep out the ruddy way and let him pass. He used to have his inspection go right round the boat. I don't know whether with me being small I was that unobtrusive or not seen, so it didn't bother me much.
This was to inspect the decks?
Yes, inspect all the decks and see that everything was relatively clean and in order, I suppose, in comparison to the number of troops that was being carried. Because you could hardly stir, really. Another thing that we got to like on board ship, used to be able to go and buy Coca-Cola, and you got it in your mess tin. And somehow that Coca-Cola on board ship, I've never, ever come across the same sort of taste. All these Coca-Colas and colas that you have now. I don't know whether the effect was with being in an aluminium mess tin or what it was, but it's never been the same.
What was food like on board the ship?
Very good. Very good, yes. To us it was like the Savoy. Top of tail. Little loaves of bread. Mm. The trouble was, you know, when I first got on board the ship, as soon as the engine started, quite a few of the fellows start to feel squeamish, and the time we got a mile or two out, they were sick. I thought, oh, I'm great, I'm a good sailor. But when I was about 4 days out, I started being sick. Did I know it? I was seasick for most of the voyage. And at one time I developed a rash on my knee, and it came up about 2 inches in diameter and about a good quarter of an inch raised up. And for all it looked like a scab, it wasn't. It was funny. So I had to report sick with that. And of course I had to report sick and see the MO, and he said it was a blanket rash. So they put me in isolation. That was at the stern of the ship. And immediately above on the steel deck there was a 6-inch gun. Well, they used to do a guard on the gun. And at night time, they were based down in the alleyway as they came down the steps off the deck to where I was, but I was cut off from them, more or less. And when they came in at night, all the lights went out. And when they changed over, all the lights came on again. That was a bit unsettling. It never seemed to rest properly, what with the ship itself. And then all this clattering and banging on the steel deck above, and them coming up and down, changing guard. And it was while I was in there that there was another sub scare. So the orderlies that were down there said, come on, life belt on and to the side. Boat drill. Seems like the subs. So I said, oh, to hell. I said, look at the bloody subs. Just leave me where I'm at. Come on. And the one got either side of me, took me up. I said, I don't care if I flaming well jump the way I feel at the moment. I was in another bout of seasickness. Of course, that was one of the worst places to get it, fore and aft.
Did they give you anything for seasickness at all?
No, I didn't get anything. No. No.
It was a long journey, and doing the same thing or not doing anything day in, day out, did it become very boring?
Well, if I wasn't playing a game or chatting to various chaps, I'd be reading or writing letters. So it didn't seem to be so bad, really.
Did you get any lectures or talks upon where you were going and what you might meet and the things you had to look out for?
No, I didn't. I don't know whether there was lectures and they were just giving them to various companies, you know, or whatever. But I can't remember ever having any lectures on this. No.
What size was your particular draft?
I should think there'd be about 5 or 6 dozen, I think, that got off when I got off and made into this camp in Geneva, in Egypt.
And were you all Durham Light Infantry?
I think there'd been one or two pushed in, but I can't remember what odds and sods there were. I know I remember when we came back from Bahia, we came to Durban. And when we were coming towards Durban, there was a Lady Mayoress, which we found out she was after we landed. Quite a well-built lady with a big, large-brimmed, flowery hat, singing us in. And it seemed as though she did that to all the troop ships. She sang them all in, and she sang them all out. Uh-huh. And we, as I say, we landed at...
What kind of reception did you get at Durban?
Marvellous. Yes, marvellous. Yes. I know one of the first things we did when we got a chance was to go to this little shop. And we were quite amazed because when we got there was the large blocks of Cadbury's milk chocolate. Well, it was a feast. I think most buds spoilt themselves. But we got to this camp. I think it was Clarewood. I believe it was called Clarewood Camp, about four, 4 miles or so outside of Durban itself. And the camp was, most of it was on a comparative level, and then it rose quite steeply towards the path on the top of this escarpment, and there's a lot of this very tall grass. Chaps used to call it elephant grass. And some of the officers' tents were more towards the top. And this chap I'd chummed up with on board ship called him Ted. Oh, I remember now his name, Ted. Ted Graham was his name, and he came from Wearside, Sunderland itself, I believe. But he was a few years older than me, but we'd been enticed into becoming officer's batman. And I was batman to an officer called Lieutenant Keogh, and he came from Liverpool, quite a nice young chap. And most times, one or other of us were on duty. Odd times we got out together. If the officers were making a day out somewhere, we got the day together. We saw that all the tentage was right and everything was clean, the Sam Browns and everything, then we were allowed away. So we could have a day downtown. And I'd gone up to the officer's tent this particular evening for something or other. And it was no sooner I was coming out of the tent onto this track at the top to move along and then come down to where our tentage was, that night fell like a black blanket, more or less. And I lost my way because there was tufts of sand coming out through the sandy track. And I'd wandered more to the left and I should have been going to the right. I'd got in among all this long grass, and it was some considerable time before I'd blundered out of it and taken the other direction, which led me down to our tentage. I hit on one or two tents before I hit on the one that was ours. But I was talking to the chaps, and they said, "Oh, you've been lucky. All that grass up there's full of black mamba snakes, round about 2'6" long, I was given to understand, but deadly when they struck." So when I went to see the officers, I was telling them about this escapade, and they said, "You've been lucky, that's right." So as it happened, I went to one of the officers' trunks, and I opened the lid. I shouted, "Black mamba." And of course, one of them cussed me. He said, "You've got bloody black mamba on the mind now." I said, "No, look." And sure enough, there was one who got in somehow or other. So one of them got his stick and walloped it. Fortunately, he was a dab hand. He hit it right. And the other one came and he shot it. Make sure. Enough about that.
How long were you in this camp?
I should think roughly fortnight to 3 weeks, I should think. Yes. But we used to get down into Durban. A little way from the camp there was a railway line, and we used to get the train into Durban. It was very pretty. And there was canteens there. There was the St. Andrew's canteen and the Jewish canteen. And you could go in there and get what they called a full house for a shilling. And that gave you a big plate full of bacon and eggs and fried bread or bread and dip, followed by a big fruit salad, all fresh fruit, piled high with ice cream, all for a bob.
Did the population take you to their homes and look after you?
Yes, yes. Yes, there was a lot of people made you quite welcome and friendly. I got on with the family, but it was more towards the end before I had to sail again. I can't recall the names. I had photographs somewhere, or I had. and I had one of some of us taken on the steps of the St. Andrew's canteen. If I can find it, I'll let you have a look at it. Hopefully I may.
Did you re-embark on the same ship as you'd brought it to Durban?
No. I can't remember the name of the one we went to Durban on. I don't know for certain whether it was a Castle Liner or what it was. I know that when we sailed, we went past Madagascar. And on towards Egypt, and when we got to Egypt, we couldn't get right in shore. We stood offshore, and we had to get on these bumboats, as they call them, and take them to shore.
Did your journey up the Red Sea, what were the conditions like at this time?
Oh, they were quite smooth, and more or less, as the guards come around, they were just pretty much like the big trooper we were on that brought us to Durban. Never saw any trouble at all.
Were you still quite tightly packed?
Yes, quite tightly packed. I don't think they wasted any space those days. They wanted the gun for it. I think we were as precious as ammunition, you know. And both got spent.
Yeah. Whereabouts in Egypt did you disembark?
A place called Jennafer.
And what were your first impressions of this new land that you were arriving in?
As far as we could see, a few tents and a whole lot of sand. And more or less, as we got ashore and we'd been put into groups, night fell and it came sudden. And in fact, NCOs were coming towards us with lanterns. Paraffin lamps to guide us through where there were slit trenches and such as that, so nobody fell in and broke their necks. And I always remember we got into this marquee, and we soon seemed to get settled down, then there was a hell of a sandstorm. So us being greenhorns, we got outside and tried to put it up, which was a complete waste of time, which we obviously found in quite a few minutes. We were blinded, we had sand everywhere. I think even up our backsides before we were finished. So we just lay under the canvas. So we must have been that tired that we dropped off to sleep. And all of a sudden, here's a band and bugles playing. Woke up to bright sunlight, which made us blink. And here's a band marching round this square, and it was all marked out with stones, all whitewashed, and they were done up to the knockers.
What date was this?
Yeah, now then, I should think it'd be, let's see, it was after Alamein. Would it be round about October, something like that?
Early November, possibly.
Possibly, yes. I think about the only dates and numbers I remember is 1066 and my birthday and my army number.
So what was Jennafer like as a camp?
Well, it was like a holding camp, as we found out, for people that had come down from the desert for various reasons, maybe wounded, and come down to be rehabilitated and eventually sent back up the line if they were fit enough, and a training camp, and for the likes of us that had just disembarked. Also, we got all the parades, you know, MO's parade and dental and such as that.
Did any of you suffer from the sun?
No, I can't think we did. We'd all been advised just to take it very easy if we were sunbathing 10 minutes or so, and I think most of the chaps were wise enough to do that. I think the odd one had got burnt a bit, but not unduly. But I think they got the lesson taught by that little bit of burning. But I wasn't daft enough.
Was the camp very regimented?
There were guards there, and it was a guard RSM. and he seemed to take quite an interest in his particular regiment. The guards were paraded quite often, and I think odd times they were paraded with the band. And then one day he decided to take us on parade, and the guards were there as well, and him being an RSM guardsman himself, we had the same trouble as we had in Bahia. Light infantry stuck among the guards. Well, we were up, down, there and away before he got his orders out fairly, and he stood there open-mouthed. I mean, we did 160 to the minute, Harry, and it was the fast drill.
Were you doing any training there?
Yes, we did a bit of rock climbing away from the camp. It looked quite near, really. There was an escarpment, rock escarpments. One was larger than the other, and they were almost split, but not quite. And one was called the Big Flea, and the lesser one was the Little Flea. And I know one day we were set off to march across there,